we want to conclude, since this will be our last meeting of this semester. We won't meet again until the fall, in September. So I want to conclude. We've been talking about the understanding word, that the key to bringing the kingdom and Jesus is to release the word so that we understand the word. And then as we understand the word and then confess the word, then the power of God is released from heaven and God will move through us. To understand the word, as we said, means to have an intellectual understanding of it, but to have a Holy Spirit-led understanding so that the Holy Spirit is speaking to our spirit man and spirit woman, so that there is the key, because our heart is our soul and our spirit together, and we need the word in our heart, not just our mind. So as we understand the word, act on the word, speak the word, then the power of God is released. And then we were speaking last time, and we'll finish on that tonight, how we use the armor of God, because when we understand the word and the power of God is released through the word to accomplish what Jesus wants to accomplish through us, Satan is going to oppose us. He doesn't oppose us much as long as we don't understand the word. Because if we don't understand it in the spiritual sense, it's like going in one ear and out the other. And we may know the word in our mind, but it doesn't release power. And the whole point of receiving the word, Jesus, is to receive the power of his life so that we are transformed, but then we help transform other people as the word of God flows through us. So we were looking last time at taking the armor of God, putting it on. I told you that in the morning, each morning, this morning I did this, put on the armor of God. So, well, last time we talked about girding our loins with truth. And by the way, all of these parts of the armor are related directly to the word. Jesus is the word become flesh. They're all related to Jesus. And they're all related to the word. Jesus is the word become flesh. So they are one. But the truth from the word. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, how do? We take the word, believe it. And when we believe it, then it becomes, the word becomes a breastplate of righteousness, right standing with God. We looked at that time, last time. Then we shod our feet with the gospel of peace. And we looked at how peace means to be brought one together. One with God, one with who God created us to be, and one with other people. For we lay our lives down in love. Jesus came not to bring peace in the sense of the world's peace, but Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And so peace doesn't come while the world system still exists. There'll be war and rumors of wars right to the end. But peace comes as the Prince of Peace comes. First in our hearts, later to all people to establish his kingdom. Then taking the shield of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, the word of God is the key. The word of God is the key to all of this. Then, it says, or then taking the shield of faith, then taking the helmet of salvation, and we said that's divine hope. Divine hope, where we are covered. We have a mental expectation of good in all things. We have an eager expectation of what the word says before we see it. We know. Ultimately, we know we're going to see Jesus and become as he is. That hope purifies us even as he is pure. So the helmet is hope. Now, tonight, there are two more. And this next one is to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit. Now, notice, right there, we know that the sword is a spiritual sword because it's a sword of the Spirit. This is not a military sword. It's a sword of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Word is involved, but who is it that brings the Word? Who is it that brings Jesus for all of this armor? It is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a key to all of this. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the Greek word for W-O-R-D here is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Rhema is something spoken. By the way, one of the ways we are made in the image of God is we can speak words. God spoke, the Father spoke to the Son and the Holy Spirit, and everything we have, everything came into existence through the speaking of the Word. So speaking creates. We create something when we speak. Particularly, we create something from heaven when it's the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to be careful. Now, the word rhema can be either secular meaning or spiritual meaning. I mean, if you isolate it. Rhema is just speaking. You are hearing. You can't see my words, but you are hearing my words. You are hearing rhema. Rhema is something spoken. So, and unless the Holy Spirit is involved, it's not divine rhema. It's not Holy Spirit rhema, because Holy Spirit rhema brings the power of God from the kingdom of heaven down to the earth to flow through us. First to transform us, then to flow through us to transform other people. Now, here's a key. And this is one of the reasons why, and I knew this scripture, and Marilyn helped me find where it was. I was looking in Matthew, and we found it in James, where it says in James chapter 3, verse 2, that we are perfect. If we don't stumble or sin in word, in what we speak, if we don't stumble or sin in what we speak, we are perfect. We are perfect. And so, it is very, now the only way we cannot stumble in what we speak is that we speak led by the Holy Spirit of God in our spirit and in our heart. Because, listen now, the moment we speak, the moment you speak, and we do this all the time, God wants us to stop doing it, but we can never, I don't think Jesus did, I suppose, but I don't think any man or woman has ever spoken perfectly. Because, why? Because we speak all the time. Proverbs says there's sin in many words. We talk too much. The Bible says we will be held, I'll read this later, a scripture. We will be held for all of those words we speak, even those inactive words, those empty words, those careless words. We will be held accountable. I believe one of the ways we're going to be judged is we're going to hear a divine tape recording of a lot of what we have spoken. Oh, did I speak that? Did that come out of my mouth? See, once you get something out of your mouth, you can't take it back. You can apologize. But I mean, there is an eternal aspect to everything you speak, even in this temporary world. It's carried on into eternity. What you speak. Of course, what the Father spoke to the Son and the Holy Spirit, and what the Son speaks and what the Holy Spirit speaks, has continual eternal significance. And when we speak that, we bring blessing. When we speak what men want us to speak, let me put it another way. When we speak according to our feelings, our emotions, our circumstances, feelings, emotions, circumstances. Now, most of what we speak probably comes out of our feelings, our emotions, and the circumstances. You know, we get up and, well, I mean, how could you not be influenced by your circumstances in the midst of all those tornadoes? I mean, if we had been in that area, you couldn't possibly not speak something about the circumstance. But God doesn't want us to be dominated, and when we're in a tragedy, like, listen, what's going to happen? It's going to be more difficult because there is a judgment that is coming. There is a great, I mean, these tornadoes are apart. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know. I don't know when a tornado or a hurricane or some natural disaster is a direct judgment of God. I don't know, okay? Or just circumstance of the weather. But God is not disconnected with what's happening, ever. He knows what's happening. And he can initiate. And he can sovereignly move. But here's the point at this point I want you to get. When you speak according to your feelings, emotions, circumstances, rather than the rhema word from God in your heart, you are speaking evil. I'll give you a scripture here and a couple of scriptures here in a moment. You are speaking evil. Evil, the key to all evil, the evil one, Satan, rebelled against God and God's word and God's will and decided to rebel against God's word and God's will. That's evil. Evil is doing things out of the will of God. Good is doing things according to the will of God. Jesus said, don't call me good. Only my Father in heaven is good. And he knew that when he joined his will, because he could have done something else other than his will or the Father's will, but he never did. He was a man, so he could have done something else, and he could have spoken something else, but he never did. He's the only man, of course he was the Son of God too, but he's the only man who always spoke the word. And so rhema, living power, flowed from him. Remember in Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, Satan had tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread. And he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word, rhema. Every rhema word that flows from the mouth of God. We are to live on every word. We are to get that word in our hearts. We are to take this sword. Now, the sword is the main offensive part of the armor. And the offensive part of the armor is the spoken word, the rhema of God, that releases the power of God to touch us, to flow through us, and to touch other people. But rhema, again, spoken according, when you speak according to your own will, your own mind, your own emotions, circumstances, you are into evil. Now, let me show you. Matthew 5:11. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed, by the way, that's a state of blessedness, the state of being born again, living in the kingdom of God with the life of the King of the kingdom in you. You are blessed. You are blessed when you have his life in you. And his life is flowing through you, and his life is touching other people. Because when you are blessed, you can bless other people. You can't bless other people unless you are blessed. You're in a state of life, of the life of Christ, the life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil, that's rhema. Do you know? The word evil is rhema. The word evil here is rhema. Let me read it again. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil. This is rhema. Speaking curses, speaking things that are not of God. Speaking according to your own emotions, your own mind, your own opinion. Never give people a piece of your mind. You know there are Christians who think that it's holy. You know, tell people the truth. Just give them a piece of your mind. Tell them what you think. No! what God thinks.
Amen.
Tell them what God says. Always. Speak what God says. Otherwise, you're speaking evil. You speak according to your own mind, your own will, your own emotions. You're speaking evil. Now, and you may be cursing people. A lot of what people say about other people, rumors and gossip, most of it is evil. Most of it's not substantiated. Did you hear? And then they roll on, rattle on. They heard this, they heard that. And see, this is evil. Stop it. God wants you to speak good. And the only way you speak good, Rhema, is the Holy Spirit has spoken it. The Father has spoken it to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings it to you, and you are to speak it. Now, Matthew 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. And I want to read four verses. You brood of vipers. Now, this is what Jesus talked this way to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do you know why he talked this way? Because they were full of what they said was the word of God, but it was the word of man. They adulterated the word of God. They watered it down. They added to it. Even if you take the word and add to your own opinion, your own mind. That's why I, in teaching, I seldom use earthly illustrations. I don't like to build three-point sermons on, well, now this point, I think this point would be good, and this point would be good, to explain the word. Let the word explain the word. This is what God told me to do when I first started teaching. I've done it all my life. Let the word explain the word. The word is the only commentator that is truthful and reliable on the word. The word, look at all the word. You brood of vipers. By the way, they had a spirit of blindness. You're blind guides leading people into hell. You are blind guides. I mean, we called them blind over and over. A spirit of sleep. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the religious spirits, the spirit of the Pharisees, the spirit of the Sadducees, the spirit of Herod, the spirit of the Galatians, the spirit of the Corinthians. They're all religious spirits. And they promote a form of godliness, denying the power of it, because the word coming through us is meant to release power. And your own opinion, your own will doesn't release power. It might release your power, man's power, but it won't release God's power. It'll release the kind of power that people are into. Politicians are into, businessmen are into. Not just wealthy people. Wealthy people are not. You're not evil because you like a lot of money. The love of money. It's not money, it's the love of money. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil? Evil. If you are evil, if you speak what the enemy wants you to speak, if you speak your own mind, your own will, of your own emotions, you speak according to bad circumstances and how bad things are because of the circumstances. See, you are never under circumstances. Bob Mumford, a long time ago, someone said, ask him how he was. He said, never say fine under the circumstances. Because you should say, if someone says that, you should say, what are you doing under there? You are fine in God, in Christ. In what the word says, you are fine in the midst of a prison, in the midst of beating in prison. You are fine. Because if you say you're not fine, you're thinking in terms of the world. We don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be tortured. You you being evil, speak what is good. In other words, you can't speak what is good if you've got evil, if you've got evil intentions, if you've got the rhema of the world, if you're speaking your own mind, will, and emotions. For the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. Now, we're coming more to that question of the heart here in a minute. Because I want to look at four elements of the heart when I get to Mark 11. Because there are four elements that have to do with the heart of man. Because what I'm teaching tonight is very, very, very few Christians understand what I'm teaching tonight. Very few. But it is essential that you understand. Because if you don't, you're not going to be prepared for what's coming. Because greater evil is coming. Evil is going to get more evil, more evil, more evil, but God's goodness is going to get better and better. His grace where sin abounds, grace superabounds. You can't outdo God. No matter how much evil comes, more good and more of the Holy Spirit and more of His perfect love and more of His perfect power is going to flow, 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 flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For out of the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. The good man, the good man. Remember what I said. Good, good. You are good only when you will the will of God and act on the will of God and speak the will of God. That's, you are not, even in Christ, you are not essentially good. If Jesus said, why do you call me good? If anyone had a right to say he's essentially good, it would have been Jesus. But he said, don't call me good. Only my Father is good. And I must do the will of my Father. I must receive the will of my Father. I must speak the word of my Father. I must continually speak the word of my Father. What I hear the Father say, I speak. Last time, remember, I gave you three times. I'm going to disclose, the Lord says, I'm going to disclose these two. I'm going to disclose it. I'm going to disclose it. And then people say God doesn't speak. That's evil. To get out of your mouth that God doesn't speak. God speaks. He's speaking. The good man, verse 35, out of the good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil tree brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word, this says, useless word, word that is not, word that's inactive, but it's rhema. The word here is rhema. Every careless word, every inactive word, every idle word. Every idle word. Now, we speak more idle words than any other kinds of words. See, we speak idle words. The three kinds of words we speak. There are idle words. There's blessing and there's cursing. There's idle words, which we speak mostly. We talk about the ball game. We talk about flower garden. We talk about... No, it can be very harmless. Although some of our idle words, we will be judged by every idle word. So we should ask God. We should, as I said a minute ago, we should speak less. I don't mean we should sit around and not say anything. I don't mean that. But, you know, have you ever met someone who you just hear nothing but words? They never stop. And the only way, I know, bless her heart, she's a wonderful, wonderful Christian, but I get on the phone with her, and if I don't interrupt her, I can't talk. she just keeps talking. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words. Now, this is logos, which is also a Greek word. Rhema is spoken word. Logos is the expression of the thought of God. And Jesus, who is the Word become flesh, Jesus is Rhema, and Jesus is revelation of Logos. Jesus is the revelation of the thought of God in creating the world, and the thought of God in bringing salvation and his kingdom. And Jesus is the spoken word, the Rhema. He is the Rhema, he is the Logos. I was astounded when I found, by reading Justin Martyr, who was saved in 134 AD, he was a student of Plato, to find that Plato, by reading the Old Testament, thought that there must be a Logos and a Rhema. But he didn't know who Jesus was. It's amazing. I don't want to get into that, but when you look at Plato's philosophy sounds very complicated, but once I understood what Justin Martyr said, then I read Plato from the point of view of his misunderstanding of the Old Testament, then I understood what mistake he made. Because he never came to know. See, we can come to know the Logos, Jesus, and the Rhema, Jesus. We can come to know, experience. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words, Logos again, you will be condemned. Now turn to Mark 11. Turn to Mark 11. This is a very, very important scripture. And early in the Charismatic Renewal, which was very active here in Lexington, I began going to meeting the Tom Hamilton Bible Study in 1972. And between 1972 and 75, that Bible study grew from 20 people to 750, 800 people. And God was moving rapidly, but I heard a few, not Tom, but I heard a few charismatic teachers take Mark 11 and do something wrong with it. Now, I'm going to read from verse 22 through 26, then I'm going to go back and break these scriptures down, because I want to read first the scripture, what Jesus said. Then I'm going to break it down into four elements. Break it down into four elements that I think is important for you and I to understand. Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Now, I remember, I can name the man, I won't. I remember one of the national charismatic leaders who basically said that scripture means have the faith of God. In other words, when you have faith, you have the faith of God, you can move God. God will move. When you have faith. Now, I knew there was something wrong with that. And I prayed over that, and I prayed over that, and I prayed over that, and the Lord said, no. I give the gift of faith, and you can receive the gift of faith. You cannot create faith by speaking. The only way you can have faith in God, because what happens, I've seen this, people get around to teaching faith in faith. Faith in your faith. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe God. And I don't know what you're going to believe, but I believe God. And God's going to move. Now watch out, brother, sister. Watch out. Watch out. When I had cancer, I mean, the Lord made it clear to me. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And without Jesus' prayer and without Jesus' gift, your faith will fail. No man or woman has this great, big, muscled faith. That whatever they believe, God's going to move. You don't move God, God moves you.
Amen.
You see what God's going to do. That's what a word of knowledge is. You see what God's going to do. And you speak. I mean, the man at the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. But they didn't go to every cripple to say, rise up and walk. Neither did Jesus. When I first got faith, I had a faculty member get angry with me. He said, well, you believe in divine healing. Well, then why don't you go up to St. Joseph's Hospital and get all the sick people out of St. Joseph's Hospital? And I said, because Jesus didn't call me to do that. Jesus didn't do that. The disciples didn't do that. Peter and John didn't go to every, but Peter and John had prayed. And they knew what God wanted to do. Listen, if you know what God wants to do, you don't move him, but he moves through you. He, with his grace, he moves through you. You don't control God, God controls you, but you can agree with God and praise God. Little Bob Neff out of Claypool, Indiana, 420 people. Paperboy. Even he can be used.
Amen.
Even you can be used. Even anyone can be used. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says, speaks, confesses. Confession is saying the same thing God has said. You need to say the same thing God has said about your sin, then the same thing that God has said about what you have.
Amen.
And what he has provided for you.
Amen.
Don't pray for things that are on your heart, but are what the things for what is on God's heart that God's put on his heart puts in your heart. Truly I say to you, whoever says, confesses to this mountain, the mountain represents the circumstances of life. And there are always circumstances that are mountains that seem not to be able to be moved. And without God or the Holy Spirit, they won't be moved. Be taken up into the sea and does not doubt in his heart. Now, watch. I'm going to come back to that. Does not doubt in his heart. Doubt in his heart. Doubt in his heart. What's in your heart? That's what's important. See, the word at first is in your mind, but to understand what we said at the beginning, to understand the word, you have an understanding in your mind. But understanding in the mind, and even agreeing in your own mind with that thought, does not release power of God. Does not release rhema word, power. That doesn't release it. It's got to be in your heart. And when it's in your heart, you know that you know that you know. Before it happens, you know. You know. I'm not talking about maybe. Know that it will. You may not know the way of the time. Watch the time factor. Don't get. All kinds of Christians, we all can get tripped up on time. See, I've said this many times, I'll keep saying it. It is eternity. Everything in faith is based on eternity, not time, not days and months and weeks and months and years and so forth. Not based on time. And believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted. Therefore, I say to you, all for things which you pray and ask, believe. And the Greek word believe means that you don't just have in your mind that you can cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope, but you are willing to get on the tightrope. That's when you believe. That's when you believe. Man, I've had a lot of times when I've spoken things from the Holy Spirit of God and Satan says, you fool. That's just out of your own mind. This is, you didn't hear from God. Especially in the midst of demonic things, I've had this happen. And when God just keeps coming, speak what he says. He will honor it. Believe that you have received them, that you have received them, before you receive them, that you have received them. They shall be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. You have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your transgressions. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Repent, repent, repent. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Forgive, forgive, forgive. God gave me that many years ago. Keep repenting, keep rejoicing, keep forgiving. It'll keep you on the cross. It'll keep you humble. Now, we got problems with pride. I'll say more about that in a minute. Now, in those verses, there are four elements. There's the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. Then there is my spirit. It's separate from the Holy Spirit. Because when God took the dust of the ground and breathed, the Hebrew word is nephesh, which means the Holy Spirit hit the dust. When the Holy Spirit hit the dust, man, in the generic, women, became a living soul. So when the Holy Spirit hit the dust, now there's a personality, now there's a soul. That's your will, your mind, your emotion. So you've got, in descending order, you've got Holy Spirit, your spirit, your soul, and then your tongue. And then your tongue. Because the tongue is how you speak. Rhema. But the tongue, most of the time, the tongue is speaking something other than rhema. And James in chapter 3 says the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of iniquity, a world of sin and iniquity. The tongue defiles the body and other people's bodies. I mean, just like pockmarks of cancer. I mean, the words that when men attack you and curse you, it attacks your body, your spirit, your soul, your body. It affects your mind, your emotions. I mean, it wounds, 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 wounds. It defiles the body. It's set on fire by hell. It sets on fire the course of our whole life. When do you lose your temper? Well, that comes on you and you're swelling up within you, and then when it just goes, blah, 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 blah. As soon as it comes out your mouth, you've lost your temper. People do violent acts and they speak. They speak evil. They curse. They speak the devil's language. When you speak the devil's language, it encourages evil to come out of your mouth and curse to come out of your mouth. Because I didn't finish before. Curse is what you really mean. And you say, I hate you. I wish you were dead. And you mean it. And you're cursing them and you're pockmarking them. You're attacking their body, their mind, their spirit. And it's the tongue. It's the tongue. Beware of soulish energy released by the tongue. Because in these four elements, here's what you need for the rhema word of God. First, for the Holy Spirit to speak that word to your spirit. But it's probably not going to happen until you do what Romans 10 says. The word of God is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we preach, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Mouth, heart, mouth. Is the way to summarize that. Mouth, heart, mouth. And so the way to get the Holy Spirit at the top of this, for the way to get the Holy Spirit into your spirit. See, it has to come into your spirit. That's a part of your heart. But it has to dominate your soul too. It has to dominate your own will, your own mind, your own emotions. The word has to dominate both your spirit and dominate your mind, your thoughts. Take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Dominate your emotions. If you're angry, repent of it. Don't let the sun go down on it. Receive his love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. Take the promise of the word. Let the Holy Spirit speak it to you. Then you speak it. It's in your heart. Then it's in your heart. Then you speak it again. Now, the Holy Spirit has hold of it. Now the Holy Spirit has hold of it. and your tongue is the only part of your body that can connect to your soulish man or to your spirit heart and your heart. Because what I speak a minute ago, what I was saying about James, when we speak our own mind and will, when we curse people, our tongue is bringing curse and evil. But Mark 11 wants us to know that the Holy Spirit is speaking, and then the Holy Spirit makes it alive. I confess it until God gets it in my heart, which dominates both my spirit and my soul, and my tongue releases it. And my tongue releases it. Do not let the tongue build the self-life or pride. Do not let the tongue build the self-life or pride. Pride will kill you. Pride will destroy you. Augustine said, some call him Augustine. I always pronounced it Augustine, but anyway. That the beginning of sin is pride. The beginning of sin is pride. Now, a scripture that I quote all the time, and I could quote it to you, but I would go so fast that it wouldn't help you. So I'm going to read it this time in 1 Peter 5, because I've learned all this. God told me to learn this years ago. And so this is 1 Peter 5. And 5, verse 5. You younger men, now this is a key to the release of the rhema word, which produces power, so that the rhema word will dominate your heart, so that the word in your heart, when then spoken, can release power and what God wants to flow through you to touch other people's lives. Okay? Now, this is what you need to do. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, God wants you, and we've lost this. By the way, Japan, which has what, 1 or 2% Christians? Has more biblical teaching on this than America. Because a key to humility is that the young respect and honor the older. We've almost totally lost it. In China, when we were almost arrested, I got on a bus that tourists don't usually use, just for Chinese. And some Chinese Christians were on that bus. I had 4 different women try to get up and give me their seat. And it was crowded. I mean, it was crowded. Packed in there. Listen, Far East, I don't know where they got it. Christianity did penetrate there. But respect your elders. But submit one to another. Keep submit. Lay your life down, submit. Be in submission. Don't worry about whether you're an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. Spirit-filled people are too worried about their titles and their. I mean, Jesus became a servant. Jesus was a servant. The fields are light in the harvest, but the laborers are few. We don't want to be laborers. Humble yourselves. Look at God, and then you'll humble yourself. Look at God. Look at who God is. He'll exalt you in proper time. You go into a banquet, sit at the end of the table. Maybe they'll invite you up further. Cast all your care on him. I mean, anxiety and worry is sin. Fear is sin. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. I know we don't think of fear as sin, but it's not the will of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't give you a spirit of fear. I mean, if the Holy Spirit is in you, there will be an anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he will lift you. And he will lift you above circumstances. Be sober, be alert, be alert, be alert, be alert. Awake, wake, wake up! The disciples couldn't stay awake for more than an hour, the night before he died. For your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So the first thing in taking control here is submit. Be humble. Take the cross. Empty yourself. Die to your own will, your own mind, your own emotions. Man, you know, we a lot of the holiness tradition around here has become just doctrine. But there were some of the people in the early holiness movement who knew what it meant to die out. G.C. Bevington prayed with a couple. Listen, prayed with a couple, two people in their home, 4 days and 4 nights, and he said the woman finally died out. 4 days and 4 nights. And we want to go down to an altar in 5 minutes and I'm entirely sanctified. I'm full of perfect love. Well, you're probably not full of anything. I have yet to hear an Asbury student, I started teaching at Asbury in 1970, testify that they were entirely sanctified. And that doctrine has been preached at Asbury. I don't know whether it's preached much anymore. There's something to the doctrine, but if it has to mean, it has to mean something. It has to be an experience. Resist Satan firm in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren in the world. And after you've suffered a little while, remember, everything that you suffer, everything in taking the cross is a little while. Anything short of eternity is a little while. I mean, when you live as long as I have, I cannot believe but my next birthday in June. I'll be 79. I cannot believe. That cannot be. That cannot be. But it is. But, I mean, God keeps giving me life and keeps giving an anointing of His Holy Spirit. I've always said my spirit's still young. My spirit's as young as yours. Because it never gets old. It's just this flesh, which we're all going to shed. I want to stay here on the earth, but, you know, it would be nice to shed the flesh. Don't have these things that get in the way. Shouldn't get in the way, but they get in the way. After you suffer a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, shall Himself, shall Himself perfect you. That means make you totally complete in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perfect, confirm. That means establish you in His way, in His word. You will never turn away from it. He's put you on that path, and you will abide in that word, and you will abide in Him. Strengthen you. Only time this Greek word is used. A strengthening for your body, your soul, your spirit. And establish you. That's consolidate you on the cornerstone of Jesus and the word. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. By the way, you give Him glory only when you walk by faith. When you walk by faith, you give Him glory. Anything that's not of faith is sin. That's the highest definition of sin. Anything that's not of faith is sin. I guess I sinned today. As I look back, I don't think I did everything by faith. But God wants us to. Now, Luke 1. And I can see, and I don't write this, but I'm not going to get to what I hope to get to. But anyway, Luke 1, 37 and 38. Let me turn there. Any of you notice when I began? I began a little soon.
50 minutes. Been going 50 minutes.
We're going 50 minutes. Okay. Luke 1 and verse 37. Now, Mary understood this principle. Mary understood this principle. She was a teenager, apparently. But she understood this principle. I think it came to Mary because I think he knew she was a woman of faith. It's impossible to please God except by faith. I think Mary pleased God. I think she was a woman of faith. Teenagers can be people of faith. I believe God is raising up young people now more than ever. Quickly. To be able to mature quickly. Took me a long time to mature. In Christ. A long time. After the angel Gabriel had told Mary she's going to have Jesus as a divine son of God, verse 37 says, nothing will be impossible with God. But what it really says in the Greek is not any rhema is impossible with God. Not any rhema. Faith always comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word received. The word believed in your heart and in your spirit and soul. The word believed. Nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, now she spoke, and she spoke rhema. She spoke rhema. She spoke the living word. Behold, she spoke what the angel said, because she knew what the angel said was the eternal truth of God. She was going to have a son. She knew she was going to have a son. She knew she was going to have the divine Savior of the world. She didn't understand that, but she knew. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Bondslave of the Lord. Notice, bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your rhema. Be it done to me according to your rhema. And I've told you this, if you've been around me for a while, I've said this many times, but I found from Michael Rood, who was a Messianic Jew, that this was the 15th day of the 7th month when this happened. The 15th day of the 7th month. This is the day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The great outpouring of the final revival on the earth. Jesus in John 7 took water from the pool of Siloam and they carried it up to the temple as a symbol of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. At Acts chapter 2 is the first great outpouring, but what's coming later is the great outpouring to all people in every nation. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached. And Jesus will fulfill it. So be it done to me according to your word. And Mary, on that 15th day of the 7th month, conceived the word, conceived Jesus. But listen, this is what God showed me at the time when I first understood this. You are, when you get the rhema word in your heart, and you know what God is going to do, and you speak it. You don't speak circumstances. You don't speak feelings. You don't speak emotions. Circumstances, nothing will keep you from speaking what the word says. And as you speak, you conceive too. Whatever you believe for, you conceive. It's born in you. My healing from cancer was born in me. the day when I prayed and the Lord said, Bob, you are healed. It was five more years before my body was healed, but I was healed. The rhema word was in me. I was healed. You understand? I was healed. And so we all are conceiving. Guys, Mary conceived. We are all conceiving. Jesus and the centurion servant in Matthew 8. Jesus said, the servant said, well, just say the word, Jesus. My servant will be healed. Just say the word. I'm a man under authority. I command and they go. I tell them to go and they go. And you have authority. And so just say the word and he'll be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith. Why? Because he had the rhema word in his heart. And he knew that he knew that he knew. And so at the moment that word was spoken, that the centurion spoke, that's the very minute, an hour, that he was healed. Now, praying in the Spirit. Most people do not include the seventh part of the armor as armor. But I am here to tell you that it is a part of the armor, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is a part of the armor. Man, if I couldn't pray in the Spirit, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I'm praying for you guys. I pray in the Spirit. I don't know how to pray for you differently each day, but the Holy Spirit knows. So let me say something now about praying in the Spirit as part of the armor. That's Ephesians 6:18, by the way. We are to pray in the Spirit at all times. And the praying in the Spirit, that gift comes as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The gift of praying in the Spirit comes as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I have said here many times because we prayed many, many, many times for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, this semester we probably prayed with 15 people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm disappointed that one person isn't here tonight because she said she's going to be here so I could pray for her to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe she'll show up. But God wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, not just to receive the gift of tongues, praying in the Spirit. That's what praying in the Spirit is. I'll read 1 Corinthians 14. It defines what praying in the Spirit is. But praying in the Spirit is important. Now, I've seen it happen many times when people are baptized in the Spirit, they immediately speak in tongues. I've seen it delayed. I've seen it delayed days. I've seen it delayed weeks. If it's delayed very long, it's probably not going to come. And so you need to continue to speak until, because you have to speak. God's not going to make you speak. But you have to speak something you don't know, and most people don't want to do that. It was easy for me, I don't know why. I think maybe because I liked intellectual things, and I liked intellectual doctrine and explain things and so forth. And I think the Lord wanted me, because, you know, to pray something in a language you don't know is really seems awfully silly. I mean, it just seems ridiculous. To the human mind, it's just ridiculous. And particularly to someone who's proud of their mind. I think that's one of the reasons God wanted me to have it, either I was a little proud of my mind, and so I just, when I surrendered. And that set me free to pray in English. Until I prayed in the Spirit, I didn't pray freely in English. But 1 Corinthians 14, listen now, 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, that's a language that's known, that the people around you don't know. By the way, it's usually a known language. I could give you many stories, don't have time. An Indian preacher, Methodist preacher, Chris Daniel, I met 25 years ago, and he told me how he was baptized in the Spirit. And to make a long story short, He went to this Dutch evangelist who was in his church because he saw power was really being released. And he asked if he would pray for him to be baptized in the Spirit. And he said, yes, I can. And he said, but one thing, I don't want to speak in tongues. And Chris told him that. And so the evangelist wisely said, well, I can't pray for you if you're going to limit God. If you're going to tell God what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, I can't pray for you. Oh, he said. And then I think it was a week later, he went back and he said, okay, pray. And as soon as he prayed, the Holy Spirit fell on him. He prayed for a half hour in the Spirit. And then the evangelist said, you want me to tell you what you're praying? Do you have a word? He said, no, you were speaking in Mandarin Chinese. I was a missionary in China for 20 years, and you were speaking in perfect Mandarin Chinese, praising God. For if I pray in the tongue, my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. My mind is unfruitful. My mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the spirit, I shall pray with the mind. I'd like to ask people who oppose the gift of tongues, how do you pray in the spirit? How do you pray in the spirit? The Bible says you're to pray in the spirit and with the mind. What's the difference between when you pray with your mind and when you pray with the spirit? I'd like to hear the answer. I shall sing with the Spirit and sing with the mind. You know, we haven't had singing in the Spirit here for years. But I'm not about to say, well, let's all get up now and sing in the Spirit. The Lord has to come. You have to receive it. I love to sing in the Spirit. I try to sing in the Spirit every morning, a little bit. Now, here's what the Lord showed me. What is the importance of praying in the Spirit? What is the importance of praying in the Spirit? It helps you release the weapons of spiritual warfare. It helps you release the weapons of spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of demonic strongholds. And here's the seven weapons that I have identified. I will not teach on them, I don't have time. But I already have taught on most of them. The weapons, and praying the Spirit will help you. First, the weapon of the Word. The weapon of the Word. It'll help you take the Word into your heart and speak it and release. The weapon of the blood of Jesus. When you're in the Holy Spirit, it will help you understand the power of the blood and understand that Satan cannot penetrate the power of the blood of Jesus. You can't imagine the power of the blood of Jesus. A weapon. He overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the love not their lives unto the death. The power of the cross, the power of the cross. When you pray in the Spirit, you will begin to understand the power of the cross. This is a weapon. The power of the cross when you humble yourselves, as we've said before tonight. For the weapon of praise. The weapon of praise. Praying in the Spirit, I don't know. That's how I entered into praying in the Spirit. I would say, oh, thank you, Father, I get along. Oh, thank you. So I praise you, I worship you, I love you, I glorify and magnify and praise your holy name. And I'd run out of English words, and then she got up and goes, I thought I was making up things. God gave me a fluent tongue the very first time I spoke. I didn't learn one phrase. I just took off. Then the weapon of binding and loosing. When you're in the midst of deliverance and the enemy comes against you and you got a word from God, there's a spirit of Seth. I remember it happened one time. A spirit of Seth. This woman is writhing and she's all over the floor and we couldn't get the name of and so I pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And as I pray in the Spirit, the Lord speaks the word Seth. And so in the name of Jesus, I bind Satan, I bind the spirit of Seth, I loose the spirit of Seth off this woman in the name of Jesus. In 2 minutes, she's quiet. Turning over, looking at me, smiling, and said, yes, I'm free. Because everything else after we had that strong man out, going out. Praying in the Spirit will make you understand the power of the name of Jesus, Yeshua. Yahweh means Yahweh is salvation, total salvation. Oh, if Christians could ever get a hold of the totality of the salvation that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has already won. It's won, people, won. Act on what it's won. Don't think you have to win it. It's been won. Hallelujah. And then, of all the weapons, the gifts of the Spirit, that's the nine supernatural gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits. I mean, all of the supernatural gifts, all of the nine supernatural gifts, they are really one. And praying in the Spirit will bring a word of knowledge. Praying in the Spirit will bring a word of wisdom. Praying in the Spirit will bring discerning of spirits. That's what I just said. You're not going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. See, when you are baptized in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit come, but you've got to learn how to operate in them. And you need to pray in the Spirit in order to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I've got to conclude. Maybe I'll start next fall, because I really wanted to get to, I'll just say one thing about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the whole chapter. The whole chapter. Didn't take another half hour. And I'm not going to do that because we run out of tape. But God doesn't want me to do that. But the key to this chapter is how to release power. God has told us what we have, what He's given us. And only through the Holy Spirit, only through the Holy Spirit, will you receive and understand what He's already given you. He's already given you everything you need. Everything you need for ministry. He's already given it to you. But you have to understand the role of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit. Your soul. Your will. Your mind. Your emotions. And how God will allow you to hear what the Holy Spirit says. And the key to it is you must learn how to give expression, speak, divine impression in your heart. That's what this chapter is all about. You learn to speak according to what He has spoken. Because until you speak, you won't know whether the divine impression was definitely from God, but when you begin to speak, this is the marvelous thing that God did with me many years ago. I began to speak what I thought was divine impression, but you have to throw away all your pride. See, one of the reasons people won't speak out in faith and speak the words of God for God to move is because they're afraid that God won't move. And they'll look bad. You know something? It'll be good if you look bad. It'll be good if you look in the eyes of other people, not in the eyes of God. But if you look bad, if you look weak, you are, I am. We're weak. We're weak. But the marvelous thing is that God creates us with a spirit and a soul and a body, and we can actually hear from the Holy Spirit, and we can actually get the word in our heart and speak the word and understand it, and the power of God can move. And if we just learn to take the armor and get in the battle, know that the battle's won, and praise Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.